Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
That's right. It is another edition of Crusader Talk here on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3. Streaming online at supertalkhattiesburg.com and available wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Caleb Hamill, joined by Josh West. Josh, I forgot to have it queued up, but man, we got to have Freddie Mercury ready on the go nowadays. It's been so long since we got to play We Are the Champions. Because we had the whole summer, and now we're finally getting to the end of these regular seasons, and we already have two different SSAC championships here to start off the 2024 season. How about it?
Oh, man, it never gets old. You know, I was wondering where you were going with that line of thinking, saying it was been a while. I knew there was a catch to it, and it was just because of the summer and because we hadn't gotten to the end of another season. We get spoiled around William Carey with the level of expectation of the coaches, of the athletes, what they're recruited to, the culture that is at William Carey is to win and to win big and to dominate. And we are absolutely treated to some amazing storylines and get to meet so many fun people, get to tell so many great stories, and it continues today.
That's right. We're rearing the end of the seasons for a handful of different sports. You have volleyball about to begin the SSAC tournament. Soccer just wrapped up the tournament. That's one of the championships we'll talk about with Coach Danny Owens. But another season that just saw its SSAC tournament come to a close was cross country for both the men and women. And to start us off talking about a championship is Coach Cooper Harrington. To break down not only the women and their championship they just earned, but also the men's third place finish in the SSAC tournament as well. First of all, Cooper, welcome in.
Hey, it's an honor to be on the show, guys. And yeah, I can't wait to kind of tell the story of the season, and especially SSAC for both the men and women.
Yeah, Cooper, you and I were discussing earlier just how young this men's team, first of all, is for William Carey. And you know, still with such a young group, finishing top three in the SSAC is pretty special. What has it been like getting to work with these guys, and how fun has it been?
Yeah, I would say this men's team is really, really young. I think we're looking at 12 guys on our roster, and of those 12, two are upperclassmen. And one is a senior. So we bring everybody back next year. So we're really, really excited about the future. But in time, we want to be present where our feet are. And so present and this current season has been lots of growth and lots of learning. But I think with a real team comes like just a lot of fun and lots of adventures along the way. Best example I think I can think of is our team set some pretty big goals for themselves. We had some goals, but we also, each of them made some individual goals. And so the mobility piece of that was, if you didn't hit your goal, you're going to have to bleach your hair blonde. And so today was the first day after kind of the men's season coming to a close. And so a lot of the group showed up with blonde.
So they show up in bleach blonde hair. Man, I got to get some pictures of this too, because I feel like that's going to make waves on social media. Because I know that already with track and field and now cross country, there's a pretty fun following with TikTok and all the others there. So that'll be fun to see. As far as guys that have shined for your group this year, a couple of names that come to mind, Nathan Suri and Owen Jensen. What are those guys meant to this program?
Yeah, I'll start with Nathan. And he's had a really, I think he embodies what we want to think about when we're talking about William Carey men's cross country. And that's somebody that kind of will stay the course, play the long game, and be really consistent. So Nathan, last year comes in and he's working really hard, but he's just not getting the results that he was hoping for in year one. But he stays the course, plays the long game, and then comes out and has a monster sophomore season. He ends up PRing by over a minute and a half in his 8K time. And I think goes from finishing, I believe he was 15th to 16th, somewhere right in that ballpark last year at SSAC, and then comes out and finishes fourth this year. And so it's been really fun to be on the journey with him and to see him take some major strides this past year, this past season. And he qualified for nationals on an individual basis, so we get to make a trip out there with us. And then when it comes to Jensen, he's probably, you know, he's not necessarily the guy that is going to win all the awards or, be like our top finisher. But man, I don't think that we would have had the season that we did have or be the team that we are without Owen. And Owen's the A++ teammate, and he's hyping everybody up, and we do shout outs after every major workout. And Owen's the kind of guy that is shouting out everybody, even like even if he can't think of like the well, they ran this or they made this workout, he's like, hey, they had their green shoes on today, and the things are amazing. A real team player. So him at SSAC, we designed our whole race plan around helping our fourth and fifth guys try to finish out as high as they could. And so that meant on our guys that had been in the sixth through kind of ninth spots for us, the race plan was not set up for them to have the best individual results, but it did give us the best chance to be as competitive as we could be as a team. So Owen's whole race plan was go out with these guys and just stick with them for as long as possible. He does that to perfection. He falls off of those guys a little bit, but he ends up having his best race of the whole year. So it was a really special moment for him as a senior. He's a great teammate.
That's awesome. Josh, as we kind of now look ahead at the SSAC women's side with the championship crew, what question you might have for Cooper?
You know, when I think about this team, and we were talking before we came on about this ladies team, a group that had so many crazy things happen last year in a year in which you were expected to win a championship, to carry all of that, you know, I guess you could say fuel with you in the off season to have a goal, to set the goal, to go out and achieve the goal. It's remarkable of the character of that team. And I wish we had more than a couple of minutes to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say this has been for this ladies team, especially, we brought back almost everybody from last year. It has been I think they had a little bit of a bitter taste in their mouth from last year of like, oh man, that was kind of ours and we had it right there. And yeah, you mentioned last year, we end up only being able to run five ladies because in the days right before SSAC, we had some sickness or injury. And man, are we even going to be able to put a full out there? And then we finally do, and we're running great, and then somebody falls in the ankle, and man, you just lose a tight one. There was definitely some extra motivation, I think, in this year's conference championship to go out there and kind of leave a mark, but also do it for the few ladies that did graduate last year, or the family support, or friends, whatever. And we end up having a really, really great day on everybody. I think majority of our women's team, their 5K split through the 6K race was PR or really, really close to their 5K.
Wow.
That is really incredible. Well, Cooper, just about a minute left. What is up next coming for this cross-country team?
Yeah. so our ladies head to NAI Nationals in about 2 weeks. And our goal there is to see just what we can do and explore as a team. How up can we finish? And so a little nothing too crazy. Our big thing is we want to be consistent. So can we just show up and do what we just did at SSKC now at the national level and just explore what's possible for us as a women's team.
Sounds like a plan, Cooper. Well, we hope we're visiting with you later on down the line, talking about how the Crusaders do in the Women's Cross Country Championships over there in Como, Columbia, Missouri. As man, we love talking about postseason and William Carey Athletics. It's a great time to be a Crusader. All right, that is Cooper Harrington, cross country coach at William Carey. When Josh and I come back, sit down with a conversation with Coach Danny Owens, another SSAC title in the books for William Carey this year, as the women's soccer team able to down UT Southern. How about that? So that and more coming up on this Champions edition of Crusader Talk. Stay with us.
Listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Back here on Crusader Talk, as we have a bit of a championship type of celebration here on this edition of the podcast, as we are happy to be joined by not only our usuals, myself, Caleb Hamill, and Josh West, but also championship coaches. Such as that of the likes of Coach Danny Owens of women's soccer, as we were talking about this SSAC championship that the girls won this Saturday against UT Southern. Coach, first of all, welcome in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, on good terms nonetheless. And Coach, this is a UT Southern game that we have been looking forward to on the calendar since that tie earlier this year. And I feel like, yeah, we mentioned it in conversation before the postseason started as a little bit of a chip on the girls' shoulder possibly for being the number two seed in the SSAC. As they move their way through the tournament and eventually get that rematch with UT Southern, what was it for you that you were looking ahead to that stood out for you as far as what your team had done in tournament play to set them up for this rematch with the Firehawks?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there was nothing really in particular that we did. You know, it was just about winning the next game and trying to get the highest seed, really trying to get the one seed. You know, we communicated to the girls about what was needed and what was in store to win the conference. And we obviously didn't win the conference on, you know, the goal differential. So it was, you know, it was just about getting into the tournament and winning the semifinal and getting the opportunity to play in the final against Tennessee Southern, who we're very familiar with. We played them in a ton of finals, national championship a couple of years ago. So, you know, that was really the goal, was just to get to a final and give it our best against a really strong Tennessee Southern team.
You know, I talked with Clayton Rush during the week after Thursday's match with Life, and I said, you know, how fitting that it is. You blank the Eagles 3-0 after that was one of the games that cost you that goal differential and UT Southern getting the one seed. As you get that and you propel yourself to that matchup with UT Southern, was that kind of in the back of your mind, a little bit of comeuppance, if you will, to get that 3-0 shutout?
To be honest with you, no. It was just about winning. You know, at this time of the year, it's just about winning and moving on. And, you know, I thought we were the better team when we played Life earlier in the season. We just missed a few chances here and there and kind of gave up a goal maybe we don't usually give up typically. But, you know, it was just about beating Life and moving on. And this time of the year, you know, there's no style point to, you know, however you can win.
Yeah,
you know,
see,
just win the game and win in advance.
See, Josh, this is why he's a coach and I'm not. I'm talking all about emotions and comebacks and getting back. He's all business at this point. He's in postseason mode, Coach Owens is. Josh, what you got?
Well, you know, I agree with that. You know, I went and talked to, and I told you this, I told – Clayton this. I told you this, Caleb, and Coach, you might be hearing this for the first time. After one of the last matches of the regular season that I did, I went up to and it actually might have been no, it was opening round of the conference tournament, and I went up to Christina, and I went up to Zalma, and I said, hey, you know, I was going to grab some popcorn at halftime, and I had to let everybody know in the concession stand that we were up 2 goals because there was no emotion when we scored. It was all business. Is that by design? And they said, absolutely. This is all business. There's no celebration right now. We've got bigger goals, and we'll celebrate at some point in the national tournament when we get deeper, but there's no celebrating at this point. I didn't know if that was something that was the girls initiated or if that was something that was talked about as a collective coaching staff as well.
Yeah, it's, you know, I would say it's the girls. You know, we talk about, you know, I guess our journey and what we're trying to do and, you know, the what we're trying to accomplish. And I think they understand the bigger picture and that these are just, I don't want to say stepping stones, but just many goals that we're trying to achieve as we get in, you know, the next or 2 weekends in the national tournament and then hopefully Pensacola. So we want to win this game is, you know, as bad as any other game, but it's just kind of, you know, a chapter in our season that we're looking forward to the next chapter as well.
He's Danny Owens, head women's soccer coach at William Carey. Coach, I want to kind of break down this actual championship game as Carey takes the win 3-1 over UT Southern. As Josh and I are getting ready to call games or in the middle of calling games, they're on campus for volleyball and basketball, respectively. This was, you know, something we were all pulling up and keeping tabs on, and we blink, and all of a sudden, Carey's up 2-0. Pretty exciting stuff to start off in a championship game with Rosie Fernandez scoring 2 quick ones within the first, I don't know, 11 minutes?
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about early start every game. You know, it's one of the things I put on the board with our, you know, as we prepare for, you know, going out on the field as early start. But we did that, you know, we not that we got lucky, but we got in those situations and scored two early goals. And I thought it really kind of settled us down, you know, in the Tennessee Southern game before, we went down a goal against Kaiser early in the year, we went down a goal. So it was important to kind of start on the front foot and, you know, it just kind of shows how important those two early goals were, because second half Tennessee Southern kind of got after us, and we were able to kind of withstand that, having that 2-goal lead.
And as, you know, Rosie Fernandez is able to punch in 2 quick ones, Tennessee Southern would not be ignored for the rest of that half as they get one back, and at the half you led 2-1, but a very defensive second half between these two. I feel like there are probably several chances on both sides that just came up empty-handed, but when I look back at the stats, when we were in the middle of that match, the shots were pretty even, and in fact they finished tied, 17 shots for each team, William Carey and UT Southern. How nail-biting was it for you on the sideline there for the entire second half?
Yeah, it was pretty nerve-wracking. It, you know, it wasn't anything that we did. We kind of, you know, we started somewhere and then they changed and then we made a change, and we felt comfortable in the second half. But, you know, Tennessee said they have so many good attacking players and we really couldn't get out. we just felt like we defended the whole time. So we actually changed again to kind of help combat some of what they were doing. And, you know, I kind of felt the same way. I felt like they were on top the entire game. But when you kind of reflect back on the game and look at the stats, we had chances to go 3-1 up. I thought there was a penalty that that the referees missed. And, you know, that happens. But I thought we defended really well. Our communication amongst our team was really good. I think the girls understood that Tennessee Southern was a good game and that we had a battle, and I really couldn't have been more pleased with just the overall effort and the communication and I guess the focus of just understanding the moment and understanding that we were going to have to suffer at times, and it was a long time in the second half, but that we were able to get through it. And, you know, again, with the 2 early goals, you know, we were able to just kind of withstand that. We still had that lead, and I guess as long as the game went on with the two-goal lead, Tennessee Southern kept throwing numbers forward, and we had a couple chances to extend it to make it three, and then obviously Christina Font, you know, made it three, and that kind of sealed the deal for us. But I just can't say enough about how good Tennessee Southern is, and I can't say enough about how good we played in that second half and how focused we were, just kind of, you know, in that game the way we did.
Coach Owens, we got a couple minutes left here, and I want to continue on that thought. You mentioned you've said it multiple times, and we certainly know how good Tennessee Southern is, and so an opportunity to get that type of a competition at this point in the postseason bracket is a luxury that the other teams that are at or near you don't have. Number one's not playing three or four. Number two's not playing number three or four in their conference tournament. So you've gotten a taste of the level you've got to play at for the rest of the tournament. How advantageous is that?
No, I think it's huge. You know, if you were to take a silver lining out of not winning the conference tournament on that goal differential, was that we had the opportunity to play life in the semifinal, and then not only play a good team on Thursday, but then turn around and have to play a tough team on Saturday. So that's kind of what you're having to do with the national tournament. And, you know, with the run of games that we had, and, you know, some of the score lines that we had, we really haven't been tested. So, you know, for me as a coach looking at it, you know, you want the easiest run in the playoffs as possible, but I think playing life and then playing Tennessee Southern back to back was really important. It was really good for us. We had two tough opponents, and, you know, like you said, Tennessee Southern's a top five team, a top three team. I mean, to be fair, I think that's a team that could win a national championship. So being able to play that after the run and kind of, you know, get moving into the national tournament, I think we'll be better off for it now.
Well, it helps to have played both Kaiser and UT Southern there on the schedule as they, in the final poll of the regular season, finish 2-4 respectively, and Kerry's right there in the mix at number three ahead of this postseason tournament. Coach, want to thank you for joining us, and again, congratulations on your SSAC championship. Wish you the best as the postseason continues.
Yeah, thank you very much, everybody, for moving forward.
All right. Well, we look forward to hopefully visiting with Coach Owens again soon, talking about even more Crusader victories. Next game up on the schedule, don't know the opponent yet, but it will be not this coming Saturday, but another Saturday after that before we have action back at Denny Owens Field for women's soccer and men's soccer as well, more than likely. Josh and I will talk about that next as we continue on Crusader Talk.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Back here on Crusader Talk as we continue talking about championships here on this Monday. Glad you're with us. Caleb Hamill, Josh West with you. Good conversation with Coach Danny Owens earlier. Congratulations to his women's soccer team on their finish in the SSAC tournament. We'll talk about that one a little bit more, as well as address one of the other elephants in the room, and that's talking about, okay, well, we're talking about women's soccer. What happened with men's soccer this past week? Well, didn't have quite the same result. Dalton State got the better end of William Carey on Thursday, winning 3-1 en route to that SSAC championship game with Mobile. And Josh, I'm going to be honest, I'm blanking right now. Did Dalton State end up winning over Mobile?
You know, with everything we had going on there, Caleb, I haven't even looked. That's something that you're going to have to pull up real fast.
They did. And so,
okay, yeah, you got to pull that up real fast. This is, full disclaimer, not the Mobile show. So you're in the wrong place. No, we were kind of so focused, man. We were on cloud nine with cross country getting a championship, with soccer getting a championship, with such a good week for basketball. Talk about something that, like you said, we completely just whiffed on. Hey, who won the men's?
Oh, my gosh, Josh, I should have read this before we went live. All right. So, as a full disclosure, this game does not involve William Carey. We wanted it to, but it didn't. But Dalton State wins over Mobile, 1-0. Guess how the winning goal was scored?
It wasn't an own goal, was it?
In the 9th minute, an own goal.
Oh, that is brutal.
Yeah, Mobile outshot Dalton State 8-4. and they only put one shot on goal. So a lot of midfield play there. And just one save for the entire match, and it was an own goal early in the game that was the difference. And Dalton State lucks into a men's soccer championship.
Well, that's a Dalton State team that we know William Carey matches up well against. And, you know, had the early lead against Dalton State, and then Dalton State came roaring back. But, you know, William Carey feels like on any given day they can win in that postseason NAIA championship bracket. So we're just ready for the Crusaders to get back in action, because we know, you know, it's one match at a time. It's a reset again. And Coach Farrell's squad will be ready. It's just, can they do it in that tournament?
Yeah, and the way that the tournament sets up now is that William Carey, with all likelihood, women's and men's side, because the men did not make the SSAC championship game, we feel fairly certain that they are not going to finish in the top 8 seeds. We could be proven otherwise. It kind of depends on what's happened or what will happen in the seeds above them. But two of those are Dalton State and Mobile, so we know those are going to pretty much be still locked in the top 8. But the reason we're talking about top 8 is because 16 teams host in the SSAC opening, or excuse me, in the NAIA opening rounds. And the top 8 seeds get a 3-team bracket. Meanwhile, the bottom of that top 16 get just one other team. And so with that, instead of hosting a game between two teams on Thursday and the winner takes on the host on Saturday, William Carey men will more than likely just host one team on Saturday, similar to how they hosted Milligan last year. At least that's our early thought. And then the women's side, we anticipate William Carey being one of the top 8 seeds, considering they're number 3 and they haven't lost since getting that number 3 spot, including beating a number 4 team in the country for the conference title. You expect to have two teams here in Hattiesburg play each other on Thursday, and then the second round game for the chance to go to the championship site in what's now going to be Pensacola this year, that will occur on the Saturday of that same week. So not this Saturday, but next Saturday, we anticipate having both a William Carey women's soccer and men's soccer match at Danny Owens Field. But time will tell. We'll find out next weekend when they announce all the brackets.
That's going to be my first trip down to Mobile to have basketball, women's and men's, at Mobile. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And so I'm going to have to get done with those games at 12 and 2, and then get back to Hattiesburg as quick as I can and see if there's any soccer still going on.
Yeah, and to tell you a little bit about what you have to look forward to down in Mobile, one, that is not as accommodating as some other gyms, and it's not their fault. It's just a matter of how long their scorers table is and then the rest of the space they have in the gym. But I was up in the corner, up on the second level, and they just had a table pulled around for me, and I had to kind of peer around the goal to see different plays. But ended up being a good game for William Carey's men's team last year, and an upset that went to – no, it did not go to overtime. It went all the way down to the wire in regulation. But William Carey came out on top of that one.
Yeah, but Caleb, you're talking to the guy that's called a high school football game from a catwalk and a deer stand. All right? I've called it from a catwalk at Silliman. I forget where the deer stand was.
Hey, you had a catwalk at Silliman?
Silliman. Oh, better yet, it was metal. It was welded to the top of the press box. And so, therefore, it swayed in the wind. It swayed, Caleb.
Hmm.
And you could see through. It was like, you could see through the grated metal of the flooring, so to speak. So, yeah, you could lose a pin through that, you know, metal grated kind of flooring. I'm not describing it well, but I think people know what I'm talking about when I say that.
See, when I went to Silliman, we called it from the stands, and we didn't have
that. Was the catwalk still there?
I don't know if the catwalk was there or not. We were on the visitor side, and we let the coaches take the booth, the camera operator who showed up. You're right at game time for the live stream we were doing. I was at PCS at the time, but rainy day as well. So we had a full-on tent set up over there, and was not my favorite broadcast, but it was a win for PCS nonetheless.
Hey, Katrina could have taken Silliman's catwalk down, let's say that.
Right.
Because I was there in 04, so yeah, the catwalk could have went down in Katrina. But again, I'll make it in Mobile, and then I'll try to get back for some soccer.
That sounds like a plan. All right. But nevertheless, fun venue there. And, you know, speaking of rain games, I had one this past week with Northeast Jones and Pastor Christiane. That's always fun, getting out your equipment and then throwing it all into a trash bag to make sure it doesn't get ruined in the rain out there. And I was so lucky, Josh, I was lucky. I was so lucky that I am a pack rat that never cleans out his car, because I still have my rain jacket in a backpack in my car from when we were at Disney World. So I lucked out. As soon as I got to the ball field, I was like, oh, man, I thought the rain was going to be out of here by 5. Nope, it's still here. It's going to be here till 7 o'clock. Lo and behold, there it was, and I made it the rest of the way.
Well, good deal. We survived. We survived. We'll survive. And then when we had rain at Cary just recently in soccer, the rain was actually blowing from behind us, and so we had none of the rain blowing in on us, or that would have kind of really put a, no pun intended, damper on what we were doing with the broadcast.
So, all right, as we still got a couple minutes left here, let's break down a little bit more of what we saw this week. You had some exciting basketball this weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. That was a high-scoring affair with Louisiana Christian. You saw all kinds of stuff. You saw an official go down late in that ball game, but eventually Cary pulls it out.
They did. They pulled it out 90-84. It was a really good game for Dylan Brumfield. You know, Dylan had been struggling, came into that game averaging only 9 points a game. He ends up with 21, 7 rebounds, 6 steals, 4 assists, 9 of 15 shooting in that game, and Dylan had the mismatch. He got put on an undersized guard, so he was able to post him up. He was able to really go to work on the block and really make life miserable for some of the smaller guards for Louisiana Christian. Randarius Hughes struggled a little bit, and Kerryon Gross had a really good first half in that game after really kind of getting off to a slow start this season, then battled foul trouble again in that game. But, I mean, all in all, Ashton Campbell hit big shots. There were some really good moments from Javion. Javion Gordon had some really big moments in that ball game. Jamar Jenkins still gives you 10. Cam Brown goes off for 18. So, you know, scoring from all around. And then you back it up to Wednesday over in Alabama over at Talladega. Beautiful facility at Talladega College there. Talladega team that on the men's side came in 3-0, had an overtime win over Point, had already beaten Southern University New Orleans, had already gone to Lorman Caleb and beaten Alcorn.
Yeah.
68-67, so we knew it was going to be tough. We got up early and then just could not get anything going. They are a very good defensive team. It was one and done. We weren't getting any offensive rebounds. The offense was really struggling, and all of a sudden you look up and you're down 14. Cary cut it tonight at the half and then turned things around in the second half and ended up winning that game by 6. It was the debut for Jamar Jenkins, a native of this area of Mississippi, played his high school ball, prepped at Pedal, then went to Holmes, played for Jason Flanagan, who was an assistant at Xavier New Orleans for Talladega's coach. So, you know, there's a player in Jenkins who could have ended up at Talladega College, but he ends up being a Crusader, and we're certainly glad he is. He is eligible now. A couple of double-digit games last week for him. And this Cary men's team is 4-0. The women were up as many as 36, Caleb, in the first half, and they end up cruising. All 16 players played for the women in that game at least 3 minutes, major productivity throughout. That's a very balanced team, a very deep, deep team for Coach English and Coach Garriga. And I'm really excited to see, you know, for those that are listening to this podcast, the game on Monday over at Southern Miss, the Mayor's Cup. I'm hoping that Cary is really competitive.
So I want to get your thoughts on this. You traveled over there to Talladega. I had a conversation with Coach English just about Clinton Gymnasium. And I said, Coach, if we renovated this place, what would you like it to look like? And he said, floated around the idea of renovating, but he said what he'd really like is for an entire new building and gym to look a lot like Talladega. What is it about Talladega that catches your eye of what makes it such a cool venue?
It's attached to the student center. It's got not 360-degree seating, but it's got horseshoe seating and all of those bleachers that are chairback, a lot of chairbacks as well, are retractable. So you can have a huge multi-purpose venue for banquets and for big events and trade shows and job fairs and all of that. and you also can have the basketball arena as well. So it is a really good multi-purpose center.
Yeah, and from the pictures I saw, it's beautiful too. And that, no, I think gorgeous. As Cary grows and as does the following of basketball at the university, I think we could see possibly some upgrades coming there. Because we've even talked before about if Cary ever leaves NAIA and pursues D2, they would have to do an upgrade there because the facilities would be so, just to be frank, far behind the others that would be in whatever conference they would join. But that's a conversation for another day as far as the D2 versus NAIA stuff. But still, just from a facility standpoint, I think it would be a huge boost in the future. And just based off what I saw and what you saw, Talladega is a good example of what college similar to William Carey size could look like as far as a basketball venue. So that's a little recap of basketball action this past week. Still got to talk about volleyball and the great week they had. 3-0, as a matter of fact. 3 matches in just 6 days. We'll talk about that and recap the week as well as get ready for this next week of athletics as we finish up Crusader Talk next. Stay with us.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Final segment with you here on Crusader Talk as we've been breaking down some championships and also looking ahead to postseason things. We got one more postseason that's right around the corner as we talk about women's volleyball at William Carey. Man, a long week full of games for them. Started back on Monday with hosting Talladega in a non-conference matchup, which, by the way, how many times can you play Talladega in a week if you're William Carey? Then you go on the road to play Bruton Parker as a makeup game for earlier in the year whenever the Hurricane took that out. And then you wrap up with the final regular season game against Loyola and are able to sweep those 3 matches and come away with what will now be a number 3 seed in the conference tournament. But Josh, before we talk about that, I just got to talk about this meeting with Loyola. And if you looked at Loyola on paper, they only had 10 wins on the season coming into this game. And you look at that compared to the 20-some-odd losses that they have, and you're like, what has happened with Loyola? Because they've been typically this pretty good team. When you look back at their schedule, man, they played all kinds of teams out in California, about 4 different ranked teams early on in the schedule, and started off the year 1-13. Some of those 13 ended up being conference games early on. But then after that, man, went on a win streak. And not until they lost recently to Blue Mountain Christian and Mobile did they really get losses back in that column. And they took Mobile a Saturday ago to 5 sets. And so you know coming into Clinton Gym this most recent Saturday that Loyola's got a chip on their shoulder. They know how bad they played early in the season. They know how well they can contend now. And when you look at what it was going to be, it was going to be possibly a tie between William Carey and Loyola for the 3 seed. And I'll be honest, during the broadcast, I went down through a different tiebreaker scenario to where I went to the last common opponent they had in which in the rankings for the SSAC to see which one Carey did better on compared to Loyola or which one Loyola did better on. And it was going to end up being that Loyola would win the tiebreaker from what I read because they did better against Faulkner than Carey did, and that was the higher-ranked team. But I'm just now reading what the conference final standings are, which Carey is still the number 3 seed for winning, but it comes down to who won in less sets if you had a tie between the two during the regular season. So because if you look at it right now, Blue Mountain Christian and William Carey have the same record in SSAC play, 9-4 for both of them. But they say the tiebreaker is that Blue Mountain, though they split the head-to-head with William Carey, won a total of 5 sets versus William Carey, who only won 4 sets in those 2 meetings. So
yeah,
that ended up being what the tiebreaker was, not competition against other opponents, which Blue Mountain Christian still would have had that because they had a win over Mobile and we didn't. But still, that was interesting that that would have been the tiebreaker. But that said, even if Carey lost to Loyola, William Carey would have won a grand total of 5 sets to Loyola's 3. And that would have put Carey over the edge for that number 3 spot anyway. So, Josh, the way it sets up now is what we wanted and what we talked about last week, and that's that William Carey has the number 3 seed. They will be in Pool B alongside Blue Mountain Christian. And if you make it out of there, the rest of the teams in that pool are Faulkner and Life. So you've got Blue Mountain Christian, William Carey, and then Faulkner and Life. Faulkner, a team you lost to earlier this year. Life, you beat. Blue Mountain Christian, you split with. And with that, I mean, I like Carey's chances to be one of the top 2 teams that make it out of there to play semifinal action. And if you know Rhonda Shirley coach team, they're going to be ready to play.
Yeah, they're going to be ready to play. Faulkner's the one that they thought would really come back and haunt them this year, and it did not. They would certainly love a rematch against Faulkner. But you know, you said it early on. You make a mistake if you look at Loyola's record. This is a Loyola team that's seasoned and are going to be really tough, and would not be shocked at all for Loyola to come out of that pool and Loyola to play the winner in the championship of William Carey's pool. And so with that opportunity, I mean, William Carey is one of, you know, I would say 4 teams that have a really good shot to win this league. And look at the trajectory of this program, Caleb, as they now are sitting at 24-8 and finishing the regular season a couple of spots higher than last year, and are putting themselves very quickly into the year-in, year-out discussion as one of the contenders for a conference title every year.
All right, as we wrap up, I'll give my Women's Crusader of the Week to Lauren Jones. Got MVP of the SSAC tournament this past week. Good showing for her. On the men's basketball side, I feel like you have to give it to somebody on that side. Josh, who do you like?
Men's basketball side for the week. From a consistency standpoint, there's been a lot of... I want to have to go with McKean Roberts because he was the Southern States Athletic Conference Defensive Player of the Week. Had 18 points in the game. In the win at Talladega was huge. Wasn't as good. Had a little foul trouble against Louisiana Christian, but McKean Roberts is definitely one of the glue members of this team early on.
All right, so this week you got volleyball on Thursday starting their pool play, and that will continue through the week. Basketball Thursday at Blue Mountain Christian and Saturday at UT Southern. That's what's next for the Crusaders in this week of athletics, but we have finished up another hour edition of Crusader Talk. For Josh West and all our guests earlier today, I'm Caleb Hamill. Good night, God bless, and go Saders.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.